Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome back to another episode of the Get On VC podcast. Episode number 6 coming at you live in living color. Not really in living color, but through audio. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you guys for all of the positive affirmations for the last 5 episodes. I can't believe we've been doing this for 5 weeks now. I'm in shock. Usually my brain will give up after so many tries. But today is a very sensitive topic. We are not professionals talking about this topic. So please know we are coming from a very unprofessional outlook, but we're coming from our own experience today. So today's episode, we're talking about mental health. Mental health is something that's very serious when it comes to life in general. It's really hard to discern, what can cause your mental health, with things that transpire that causes your mental health. We are not professionals, so we can't help you in any certain way. I can't diagnose you or can't give you medication or anything, but we are here to give you our background. We are here to give you our experiences. We are here to shed some light, and we are here to be just hopefully a guiding light to any situation that you're dealing with regards to mental health. In our episode description, there will be a help hotline, so you guys can check that out if you guys are needing any help. Mental health is something very serious. Something all of us go through. I mean, even as just general people, we go through a lot of mental health issues and a lot of mental health things. Today we have Baxter and Gray joining me for this episode. We're talking about mental health. So boys, is there anything in particular that strikes you when the words mental health come up? And any conversation or any light that, when you're talking about it, it's just like, this is the first thing that comes to your head.
I have one, and it might be kind of I don't want to say controversial, but definitely a different thought on it. I definitely think today's society definitely overuses the word depression. I feel like it's kind of like a common coin word now, just for being like sad or disturbed or upset. Like, people will just say like anything. Like, I don't know. For an example, you had a bad day, and because your bad day is because you stubbed a toe, and then things just started going down, and people would be like, "Man, today's just such a depressive day." Mm-hmm. I think that is very bad, because depression is not really something to joke about, and I know people don't mean it in a joking way, but because it's used in such a commonality, I feel like the word depression itself is kind of, the true meaning of depression is kind of fading away, since people use it so common that I feel bad for the people that actually suffer depression. Because now it's like, whenever you think of depression, it could just be someone as simple as just, sad, versus actually clinically being depressed, versus just being depressed in the essence of like, you're having a really bad day, which it's okay to say like, you're depressed because you're just really sad or you're grieving or stuff like that. But I just definitely think using different type of words versus saying depressed could be better, so people don't misuse the word. I don't know. I think that's my biggest thing about it. Because mm-hmm. I know when I first moved to where I am now, I could confidently say I definitely hit a depressive state. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not clinically depressed, but it was a point in my life where I definitely grieved, felt lost, and was very, very sad. Now you can construe all those to just be depressive, but for me, I just feel like it was just a very low point in my life where obviously I moved, lost all my friends, lost a girl I was dating at the time, which was kind of like my first love. And I got to the point where all I did was lock myself in my room, play games all day, didn't talk to my dad. My relationship with my dad kind of like fizzled a little bit. Dated some other chick that I kind of, I don't want to say regret because it taught me a lot of things, but it kind of was because of the state I was in, and I didn't realize how much she was actually using me and all this stuff. So it's just, I don't know. It's just very weird. So I don't know if I'm making sense. Am I making sense?
No, it makes sense.
No, I agree. I think, like, I was going to say, like, as soon as you said that, I totally understood what you're saying. I feel like a lot of people, the problem is that a lot of people nowadays are, like, super dramatic. Like, they want to emphasize their problems, and they want people to, like, latch onto their problems and think that they are, well, they think that they're the center of the world. You know what I mean? Like, especially with, like, media nowadays, like, people want to get attention, and especially with the way that mental health has been portrayed recently, it's been a very popular topic of conversation. So, like, people, they want to talk about that now, and they think that if they have those things, they might be more popular, or they might, like, get attention from other people. You know what I mean? Like, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Obviously downside, I don't know what the specific word is, that, but, like, to downplay their problems. But you're right. At a certain level, there are a lot of people that misinterpret what they're feeling instead of what could be, like, just generally sadness or, like, generalized anxiety into, like, depressive states that are much more serious and they last a lot longer. So.
Yeah, I think people definitely do miscue the word depression. I mean, if you look at the world today, depression is used in a couple of different ways. Depression is either used clinically, in a sense to where you are clinically depressed, or depressed is just like, oh, I'm depressed, like sad, like just in a sad state. You know, depression, yes, it does present a sad state, but like you said, back to like being sad, like because you step your toe first thing in the morning and then things start spiraling down and you're just like, yeah, I'm depressed today. It's like, that's a bad day. Like, that's a bad day. Like, you're having a bad day. It's really sad that you're having a bad day. You really are down because, you know, things are not looking the way you thought it would look for the day. But like depression in a whole nother state is just like, you don't really have like a sense of feeling. Like, you're just in an emotionless state. You're really just going with the flow. You're just kind of just doing things that, you know, try to get through the day. You know, there are things in those scenarios of depression is just like you can't really comprehend. I mean, I've gone through a stage of depression to where I was going with the flow. I was kind of just, you know, I'm here. You know, I may put on a face to where I look happy, but people definitely can read my face who really know me. They're like, you're not yourself today. I've gone to points to where food was even disgusting. Like, I would have to force myself to eat and buy myself food, but like I look at it and it's just like, yeah, this is disgusting. Like, I don't want to eat this, you know. And I have to force myself to eat something so I don't like die, or like something else would happen to where like my body is shaking to where it's just like you have to go to the emergency room or something. But I think, you know, depression is something that, yes, the word is overused, but at the same time, it's like there are scenarios in our cases where people are dealing with serious depression. And, you know, it comes also to where things that are happening in life in general. What is going on in your life that's causing this, you know, and that's where you would find help, you know, that's where you would seek help, or, you know, to talk about things that you're going through, to talk about things that are happening and that may be causing you know, your depression. You know, moving, steering the bus from depression over to anxiety. You know, I have anxiety. I take medication for my anxiety. You know, my anxiety didn't really start until, you know, by the time COVID happened. Life was changing for me. Life was changing fast. And things around me were happening and evolving. And I started, you know, I've had a couple panic attacks. I've gone through my a couple depression stages. And, you know, I was very anxious all the time. And, you know, as an anxious person, what do? Well, there are a couple things you do. You know, you overthink things. You tend to just be to yourself, or you just tend to, you know, dig yourself into a very, very deep hole to where it's just like, okay, now how do I get myself out of this hole? So there are steps that I took to, you know, help with my anxiety, you know, seeking my primary care provider, you know, seeking a counselor or a therapist, you know, a psychiatrist, someone to help me go through my anxiety episodes, go through and talk about my feelings and how I'm feeling and, you know, what I'm going through and things of situations like that, you know. And on top of that, having a support group, you know, if I know my core support group, I can go to my core support group and be like, hey, you know, this is what's happening. This is what's going on. You know, this is it. No, anxiety is something, you know, I feel like anxiety also can be used in the same light as depression, where people kind of use the word anxiety to, like, you know, how they're feeling for the day. You know, yes, anxiety is just like, I'm feeling anxious about this interview. Yes, you're feeling anxious about an interview because you're nervous. You know, you're nervous for the job. You're nervous for what's to come. That, yes. But also, clinical anxiety is just like, man, like, it's a different world. Different world of
it's just anxiety. Everyday.
Yeah.
Everyday anxiety for the littlest things, you know? It's kind of crazy.
It is. It's insane. It's insane. Yeah. Yes. Hi. Me with anxiety.
I remember when I don't even know if I would call it an anxiety attack. Oh, maybe, I don't know. But I remember one day I think it was back on like my sophomore year of college, and I had just moved to a new house. So, and it was like a house that we were like renovating, like my dad and I were actually renovating. So I was taking care of that. I think at the time I had also like, I had failed like my first ever class in college. It was like my first time ever failing a class. So that got to me. I was trying to look for a new job. There's just so much stuff that tacked on. And then, it was also a time that I kind of found out that my grandfather had colon cancer, and then all these things tacked on. And then I just remember one day just sitting in my room, blacking out, and I came to, and I was crying. And I don't even remember starting to cry. I just came to and was like, wait, what just happened? Mm-hmm. It's kind of a crazy experience. Crazy thing. And at the time I didn't know like whether what it was. All right. I know is I just blacked out.
Yeah.
And that's it.
You know, I'll say I used to think that I had a panic attack myself. I think I had something very similar to what you had, but it was back in like my last year of high school. And what had happened was that I was just sitting at my desk one day. It was in the middle of COVID, right? So I wouldn't say it was very lonely, but it was a little lonely. And I was just doing homework, and I just threw myself on my bed, and I started just sobbing for like 30 minutes, and I hated everything. I've never been so angry in my entire life before that. I was just, I don't know. The world just felt horrible. I don't know. I can't even describe what I felt.
And then let's not even mention, like, on top of, like, no excuse to, like, the stuff that goes on with women, because, oh my God, women deal with stuff every single day. But the stuff that men also have to deal with that they can't even express because we're not supposed to express our feelings. And I'm so happy that there's, like, an actual move right now of people, even and women on top of that, talking about how mental health amongst men is actually even higher. I don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure the last time I read about it, it was higher than women.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
And to me, it was like, I remember like saying some of this stuff to my dad and stuff like that. And given being in a Hispanic household, they understand like that it exists, but they kind of brush it off in this sense. My dad, I'm not saying my dad brushed it off, but it is a very common thing in Hispanic households to just kind of be like, ah, nah, you don't have that. Because I don't know why. I honestly couldn't even explain why. But my dad, when I first told him one time, he was like, are you okay? And I'm like, one, no one's ever asked me that, not even in my family. So I was like, I think so. And I just like started crying to him, and we kind of like had, you know, a pretty decent talk. And it was kind of a time where my dad and I's relationship was a little rocky because of certain things that happened between us at that time. I'm not going to really go into it because that's a whole different story for maybe another day. But so kind of coming to him after all these rocky stuff that happened in between us and being vulnerable was kind of weird to me, because I don't want to say I never really expected him to react. I guess I should say I never really knew how he would react to this type of situation, because my dad's always just been a very like stern, but not in like a negative way. Stern as in like he's very confident in who he is as a person. So he's kind of what he taught me how to be as a person also. So it was just very weird to just actually be at a point in my life where some things that people told me, because the way my dad taught me how to be was be just very confident in who you are. At that point in my life, let words and that people told me actually affect me. And I was like, this is not something I'm used to. So that's when I kind of realized like something's kind of wrong with me. And I had to like figure it out. So that's just, it's just kind of crazy how there doesn't really feel like there's an outlet for us. Yeah. I guess I should say.
Yeah.
Even though there is, but it doesn't feel like it. It really doesn't feel like it.
I think that what it is that like, I mean, obviously you can always go get like professional help and that's nice. But I think that there's like a certain aspect of like talking to the people that you know and care about, who actually want to listen to what you have to say, that like is super impactful. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like you could always just like I've been going to psychiatrists for basically my entire life because I have ADHD, right? But like, there's always been something that's like just missing from that conversation that I just can't have with that person. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it's more like I don't know. I feel like when it comes to situations, you definitely need to have a more like intimate conversation about it. Especially even with maybe the people that are causing it for you. It could be, you know, your own family, your own friends. And they might, and it may not even be directly. It could be directly. It could be indirectly. But, and I think that's something that definitely helps, going directly to the source, as you know, taking as much time as you need to actually go directly to the source, obviously, because it's obviously not as easy.
Of course.
But
yeah, like even growing up in like the, like, and if you look at the Hmong, not even the Hmong culture, but also the Asian culture itself, like the the males are supposed to be, you know, the head of the household. They're supposed to be the alpha males, you know, the hardworking people, the breadwinners. You know, they're bringing in the money. They're bringing in they're basically doing everything for the family. They're the foundation of the family, you know. And then you have the women who are basically, you know, the housekeepers. I hate to say it, but the baby makers, you know. That's just how the Asian culture views women and male. And, you know, coming from the background of Asian culture, you know, it's just like, you don't really talk about mental health that much. You don't really talk about, you know, what you're going through. It's not really seen in the best of light. You know, it's just like, oh, you're going through this? Oh, ignore it, push through it, and continue on with life. That's basically the memo, you know. It's kind of like, you know, what Baxter, you were saying earlier, it brought in my head, you know, the SNL skit of the protective mom, you know. You know, when the girl's like, oh, yeah, he's going to see my doctor for ADD. And Pedro Pascal's like, my son does not have ADD. He just likes to jump, you know. People don't, yeah. You know, yeah, like Asian cultures don't talk about mental health. Like mental health is not even in the vocabulary of like the Asian culture. It's just not there until recently, you know, when people are talking about the trauma that they've gone through. People are talking about the things they have experienced, you know, growing up in Asian culture. People are starting to recognize, you know, there are things in the Asian culture that, you know, are causing are the next generation or the current generation that's, you know, trying to provide for the elders. Something's going on, and, you know, now it's being talked about, and, you know, now, you know, the movement is happening, especially in, you know, the males, you know, males are now talking about their experiences, their feelings, how they, you know, what they're going through. You know, even going to my therapist is just like, he's like, you know, I'm really proud of you for coming out and talking about this, because, you know, it's really hard, especially as a guy, to talk about these things. You know, like, it makes me, not only does it lift a weight off my shoulder, but it makes me known that's just like, you know, there's a safe place for me to talk about things that are going on around in my life, to where it's just like, I can talk about this and, you know, talk about my feelings, talk about things that are going on, hopefully get some guidance on, you know, certain scenarios and situations that are happening, and, you know, figure out the next steps of what needs to go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And what's even crazier is, like, I think I read an article and it was like, men are like, they're reporting that they have like no partner or no sex life or none of that because of like mental health, because of like the now kind of like throwing back to another podcast episode, the current dating culture. Because, like, I saw TikTok earlier today, and it was like, it was this chick, and she was recording her boyfriend and basically showing that she was like dressed in like a tracksuit, it looked like, and he was, you know, dressed casually also, and they were at a Shake Shack, and she was mad that they were at a Shake Shack when there was like a couple fancy restaurants like around the corner that they could have gone to. And she was like trying to show off on how she was dressed better than him. I'm like, you're just in a tracksuit. How you? He's just wearing a tee and some like pants. Like, how are you dressed better than him?
Right.
First off, what makes you think you're going to be dressed in a tracksuit to go to a fancy restaurant? Like, that makes no sense to me. Ridiculous. And then she's just sitting there, just kind of like, humiliating him, basically saying like how are you not treating me well and stuff like that. And I think even like he says, he's like, this is only like our second date. Like, what are you being so pressed about? Like,
right.
Calm down.
Right.
And it's just, it's crazy to me that like, on top of that, like, basically men just don't want to date anymore.
Yeah.
It's just, it's hard. How do you compete anymore? You know?
Yep.
I think that the internet has extrapolated the image of what men need to be, or like just partners need to be for like their significant other, it's really hard, especially on men. We're expected to like to pay the dinner, to do the, just kind of do the man's job, but at the same time be vulnerable and perfect in every way. It's just very difficult. I feel like there's a lot of expectation, especially on men, when it comes to dating.
I think it just creates the stereotype of what a guy should do on a date, you know. For me it's just like I'm going to pay on my first date. Like that's just me. Like I'm just going to pay on my first date. But like I think the stereotype is just like, oh, the guy needs to pay on the first date. You know, the guy needs to open the door for you. The guy needs to go and do this for you on the first date, like buy you flowers. The guy needs to walk you up to the door. You know, I think that's just creating the natural stereotype for what a guy should do on a first date.
Which, like, to counteract that a little bit, like, like being chivalrous, basically, that's what that is.
Of course,
right. I think that's okay. First off, I think that should kind of be like a standard just to be nice type of thing. It shouldn't be something like that women are asking for. But what it counteracts that is that women are asking for that, but then you have women that get mad when you do that.
Right.
So it's like, which one do you want? So it's just very, very confusing. And then, I don't even know. It's just definitely something else.
And then if you don't do it, I feel like it should be a thing that it's like you shouldn't expect it, and you should like be allowed. You should at some degree, at some level, how little or small, just have like appreciation for that. Like you're trying to be nice and just like kind of reciprocate that, you know what I mean? I don't know if I'm asking too much in that sense. I haven't ever dated anyone really, but I feel like there should be some sort of appreciation for trying to put your best foot forward.
I think it's gotten to a point where it feels like, because of media and all this stuff, and this is not supposed to be like bashing on a women's session either. It's just what it feels like. That's it. That women are basically being told that like these are things you should expect bare minimum. And while I agree, like, yes, some of this stuff should be very bare minimum. Like it's something that you should just do, but then you have the people that don't want to do that and how they want to be independent and, you know, a bad bitch and all this stuff. And it's like, I don't get it. It's like, which one do you want? And do you want me to be a nice guy? Or do you want me to be a bad guy?
I mean, not to make a joke, but like, we've all seen that list. I know that we've all like seen that TikTok with that giant list of things that men can't do on a date. It's ridiculous.
It is.
It's like you're not allowed to live.
No, it's like you're not supposed to breathe, dude. Like
is that one of the things on there? I think that is actually on there. To be honest,
I think it is too. It is. And I'm just like, bro. Yeah. Like, seriously. Okay. Whatever. Like, just let me be a still corpse then for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's just basically like the given type for any male when it comes to mental health is just like, we feel like there's a standard for us, and you know us guys have feelings too, you know we are human,
and it's a double standard out there, you know?
Yeah, we are human, and it, you know, we do like to talk about our feelings, and you know, sometimes we do feel hurt. And we may not show it, but you know, we'd like to have cuddle session and
talk and about the little spoon sometimes.
You know, maybe cry with a gallon of ice cream and a sad movie.
No, but
I think just the overall picture of like the man is supposed to be the quote unquote man, you know, the alpha, the man who's supposed to, you know, be tough and hardworking, you know, like, yeah, like, mm-hmm. yeah, my hands are dry sometimes because I'm working hard, but like, I put lotion on because my hands are dry and I don't like dry hands.
Facts. I love like cracked hands, you know?
Like, today, like, I was at work and I looked at my hands. I was like, bro, my hands are so dry because A, I'm touching a lot of copy paper, and B, yes, I did some hard work this past weekend. So I'm like, I need to put some lotion on. You know, I'm going to put lotion on. Am I going to get judged for putting lotion on? You know?
Tell me about it. I remember when I used to work at a restaurant and putting latex gloves on every single day. Man, my hands, I would come home and my fingers are cracked and it would hurt because of it.
I mean, y'all know, I mean, I work in the food industry right now, and mm-hmm. I was doing the dishes last week for about 3 or 4 hours probably. After I got off my shift, I literally opened my hand up and my skin split open like it was being unzippered because of how dry my hands were.
Yep.
I just opened my hand up. That was all I did.
It's like, do you want me to come home with like oil stains in my hand or something? Like, I don't know.
What's crazy to me, just like kind of tie it back, is how much a lot of this stuff like is starting to like bloom and come out to the public happened during COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It's like us as a society, we stayed home for too long that we started being introspective, apparently. Be like,
damn,
what's going on with myself?
Yep.
Honestly,
I think just in general, it's just like because COVID was, since we were all, you know, quarantined off, you know, at home, you know, I think, you know, a lot of us started to look at ourselves and it was just like, man, like, am I okay? Like, that's the question. It's just like, am I okay? Like, am I doing well? You know, like, my anxiety didn't start until peak COVID. Like, when things were happening, and like, it wasn't specifically like the world of COVID was happening. Things in my life was happening and things were changing constantly because, you know, I had to adapt to it. But, you know, I think COVID really brought upon a lot of things that, you know, people started to recognize, like, let me ask myself, am I doing okay? Am I well? You know, how am I taking this? And, you know, there are some perks to, you know, being quarantined off like that. You start to recognize some of your flaws, and you start to recognize, oh, you know, I probably need to figure out how to handle this, you know. But at the same time, it's just like, you start to realize it, and it's just like, I have this, or this is going on in my life. I didn't really recognize or see that this was happening, and this was a thing in my life that was going on.
Yeah.
So
I also think it just, as a society, it kind of made us realize that us as humans, we were created or evolved or whatever you believe in and how we became about, we're meant to be with other people. Like, we are creatures that are meant to be with other people and be amongst other people. I don't care how many people say you hate people. All those people that say that they hate people always have one friend, at least.
Right.
Or their parents, or their boyfriend, or girlfriend, whatever. So you can't sit here and say you hate people but have a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Right.
Or the one friend that you always go to. Like, you don't hate people.
You don't. Yeah,
we just have a very, very specific preference.
Preference, yeah. Like, we're creatures of, you know, who need that interaction. I mean, there are certain people that I really, that, you know, I don't really bond with, but do I hate them? No. I just don't bond with them and I don't want to interact with them. Are there people who, you know, who I just get along with better? Yeah. That's just the way the world works. You know, I'm not too mad or upset about it, but at the same time, it's just like, if you hate people, you are like, you must be living under a rock or something, because you are probably all about me and, you know, probably Mr. or Mrs. Independent, but, you know, I can't say. But at the same time, it's just like, there's something else. But we are creatures who need that interaction. And, you know, we need it. We need it all. Anxiety, depression, you know, some big things on mental health. Gray had touched a little bit about ADHD. You know, there, I was going through TikTok, I think a couple days ago or something, and Ludwig had kind of outed out Foosley a little bit, and like, you know, they're on a powered server, and Ludwig's like, you know, you're waiting for me, and like, I see you jumping up and down, like, do you have like ADHD or something? She's like, yeah, I have ADHD. She's like, I didn't really get diagnosed until later on in life, you know, until I started to figure out things and went to my doctor and talked about it. And they're like, yeah, you have ADHD. Even Valkyrie has taken like multiple tests, to figure out if she has ADHD. I think in general, you know, there is a time where we, you know, wonder about ourselves a little bit. It's just like, maybe you need to go talk to somebody about this. Whether it be depression, anxiety, ADHD, ADD, you know, there's a time to where it's just like, I should go talk about this. So what are some things that help you guys in general and making sure that your mental health doesn't go boom?
Go ahead, Greg. I do a lot of introspection. I, like, for me personally, I don't know why, but ever since I've been very, I wouldn't say alone, but I've been very solitary since I was very, very young. And I've always just been very emotionally aware of myself. Like, I definitely have outbursts, right? I mean, obviously, everybody does at some point or another. But I have an understanding of what I'm feeling and why I'm feeling that way usually. And I like to just, at random, which is also probably partly not why I have ADHD, but it's like something that I do because I have ADHD, is that I'll just like sit and I'll just stare and I will just think. I will think to myself and let my thoughts kind of just flow. It's just very cathartic almost, and it allows me to just feel better about myself in the end, because I let myself process what I'm feeling and like understand why I'm feeling that way.
Yeah, I can agree to that. I've always been a person that I like to deal with my problems to my lonesome first, because I definitely think decisions that you make, especially dealing with like mental health and stuff like that, just big decisions, getting opinions from, although very helpful, getting opinions from other people and letting like those opinions affect your decision, I don't think is very good for yourself, because I feel like it doesn't let you decide on your own, like, hey, maybe this is a good decision for me. I feel like you should always be, probably the biggest thing is this, like Penny said before, always be true to yourself. Because in the end, like, those people that gave you that opinions, although they might be the greatest friends, your family and stuff like that, one day they won't be there. And this decision that you made, whether it was based because of them, like, were you truly happy with this decision, or did you do it because of them? So I'm always like, I like to deal whenever it comes to like mental health stuff, unless like I really need the help. I like to deal with it by myself so I can come to terms with it, be very introspective, let me feel it, let me understand why I feel this way, whether I'm overreacting, whether I actually have a valid reason to feel like I'm feeling, or whether it's just a moment in time and it passes. It's probably one of my biggest thing that I like to do. And then after I come into that conclusion, if I'm still feeling that type of way, then I'll reach out to other people and seek help in other outlets and talk to people to and convey them like, hey, this is kind of how I'm feeling. This is kind of my thought process on it. Like, am I being crazy? Like, am I right for thinking this way? Or like, what are your thoughts? But at least before I went to them, I kind of already had a full thought process, thought about it, came to a conclusion. And now I could get their opinion and pin it against my opinion and see, okay, where do we connect? Where do we disconnect on our opinions? And like, were they right? And then like, if you didn't agree and didn't think they were right, ask them to elaborate and just kind of help you get a third bird eye view inside into your situation. Cause sometimes bird eye view does help a lot when it comes to situations. Because they can see you for who you truly are at the moment, how you were acting, whether you're just overreacting and stuff like that. Because, man, there's been many times where I've had conversations with people or even my dad or, like, family members where, like, I feel like they would overreact. But then I'll talk to, like, one of my friends and kind of explain it to them. And they'll be like, well, maybe it's just because, you know, like, that was a trigger for them or... it was like, let's say like a love language, like maybe they were asking for quality time, but you didn't realize it, but they didn't say it verbally. So you could see the dissonance and the disconnect. So I'm a very big proponent on figuring it out yourself first. If you can, if you can't, obviously when it comes to mental health, cause I know it's not as easy. If you can't, definitely reach out for help because, it's not something to deal with as alone either. And yeah, that's kind of my outlet.
Yeah. Really quickly, I just want to add on to that. And that, like, also, if you go to someone first, like, yeah, like, it, for some people, it can be a very good idea to, like, kind of get your thoughts in place. But, like, certain people can also sway your decisions in, like, they won't just help you, like, figure out what you're trying to understand. They can also, like, sway your decisions in a way that you might not understand at first, but later on you realize that they didn't help you to figure out like the best thing for you, but they like swayed your decisions towards more of their thinking, which in the long run could be harmful to you. It can always be good to go to another person to kind of like help understand what you're thinking and like what's going on with you, but you have to understand that like the way that they think and that how that might affect the conversation that you're having.
Yeah, like a lot of people in this world, like whether consciously or subconsciously, because that's just the way the world is, a lot of people tend to say things selfishly.
Of course.
And whether they're trying to help you, they might subconsciously be saying whatever they're saying selfishly. That's why I always like that like funny meme that's like you give your friend advice but you say, but that's my opinion, just in case something bad happens. Because it's true. It's very true. Like you can give this person your advice and then be like, but that's just my opinion because like this is how I see it. Now yeah. It's your turn to determine if that's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's very like for me, it's always how I deal with my things, I have to talk it out. Whether it be in my head and I talk it out, or whether it be with somebody who I know I can trust that gives me the most unbiased opinion. And I always tell them, I need your unbiased opinion and I need you to tell me unbiasedly because this is how I feel and I need you just either shed some light, slap me in the face, or, you know, give me something to where I'm able to see both sides. Because, like, usually when I go through my anxiety episodes or whenever those start to happen, I usually get a little tunnel visioned, and I'm just like, okay, here we go. So that's when I'm just like, I need someone to shed some light and let me know, like, hey, like, you know, either I'm wrong or I'm just completely wrong and you need to freaking punch me in the face. But I have to talk to somebody. Like, I have to talk to somebody. Whether it be myself or out loud or in my head, and just that would just mean I kind of just sit there quietly and just have to have that one-on-one conversation with my head in my head, or I text somebody and be like, hey, like, this is like, this is what's going on, or I got a situation that's going on, I need your help. It's just how I deal with stuff. I have to a conversation needs to be had in my head about it, so that way I'm able to talk about my feelings and talk about how I'm dealing with stuff and talk about how this is going on, and then figure out the best way to move forward and figure out the best way to conclude it. In my head is like a 5-step process. That's just how my mind works, is a 5-step process or steps to reach the end goal, the conclusion as the end goal. I'll bring up this one scenario to where, like, me and this friend, we had a downfall, and it got to the point to where it was both of our faults, and, you know, we both were tunnel visioned. And it got to the point to where it was just, you know, I was telling my point, this friend was telling their point, and, you know, we both had apologized to each other, but at the same time, we both wanted our points to get across, and it didn't really end good. They kind of were just like, the message they sent was not the tone they were receiving. It was just like, I'm done with this conversation. I'm just going to say this to make you happy and to end the conversation, and we'll just move forward. So I was like, okay, this is totally not the tone of the message that you are trying to convey. So then I had reached out to somebody else and was just like, I need to talk to you a little bit about the situation that's going on. Shed some light and stuff, and what the, like, right now I'm just like, that the whole tone of your message was totally not what you were saying in your paragraph long message that you were telling me. You know, they told me, is like, you know, they read the whole text message, like, you know, you both were the fault, you know, feel like you shouldn't have said this, you shouldn't have said that. You know, it kind of just was, you know, both you guys wanted your things to get across. You both had to apologize, but at the same time, things weren't getting across to each other. You know, you just had to let it play out the course. So right now, it's just like, I'm letting it play out the course. I have not spoken to this person in a little bit, nor have I interacted with this person in a little bit. But, you know, we're both still pretty active, and, you know, they see what I do, I see what they do, and it's just like, you know, cool. You know, we just move on. You know, yes, I still have some thoughts in my head, but it's just like, you know, time will tell when we decide to talk again, or if we should ever see each other in person again. If that time will come, and, you know, how things are handled. So,
another great outlet for everyone out there. Music. Music is a powerful tool.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal tool.
Phenomenal. I love to eliminate the world with music. I love it. I remember one time specifically, I was upset and I was just like, I'm just going to listen to music. So I just popped in my headset And I was like, okay, this is what I'm doing. Yeah, geez, mental health takes a, it takes a toll on you. You guys didn't know. And, like, I've been through a lot of my anxiety episodes to where it's just like, it is physically and mentally draining. And there'll be some times where I can't sleep at night, and I just, I stay up till about, I mean, I don't go to sleep till about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning anyway. So it's just like, it just drains you out even more and more and more physically and mentally. But mental health is not a thing to sleep on. It is something very serious. It is something, you know, everyone goes through. And it's something that, you know, if you are, if you feel like you're deep down in a hole, you're, you feel like that you feel very sick and you feel like there's nobody around you, if you know, there are people there to love on you, and there are people there to talk to you that I want, that want to talk to you. Like I said before at the beginning of the episode, I'm going to drop down the national helpline for you guys. If you guys ever feel like you just need to reach out to talk to somebody about what's what you're going through, and to talk about, you know, the situations that you're going with, you know, whether it be something in your personal life or something in your relationship or something going on that, you know, hinders you from talking to another person or something, you know, there's people that want to love on you, and there are people that care for you. And you know, they want to be there for you. You know, I'm always thankful and always blessed to have such an amazing friend group who, you know, we all care about each other, and we all look out for each other, and we all give updates on what's happening in life, and we all, like, how's, like, for example, like Ghost just recently got a new title in his company. You know, we were asking him, how you doing, how's it going. You know, Ghost is adjusting to his job. Ghost is adjusting to his new work schedule, you know. So it's just like, it takes a toll on him, because he's usually working the nights, now he's working more days. So it's just like, you know, he's changed something in his life, and we're just like, how you doing? How you holding up? You know, with us in particular, you know, there are some people, me, Baxter, and Nikki, you know, we're planning to move in together by the end of, towards the end of this year, you know, we're in the talking stages of looking for a rental. You know, now we're, you know, I gotta look for a new job because I'm moving out of state to move in with these people. So our plates are getting full, and, you know, people are checking up, like, how's it going? How you guys doing? Are you guys okay? You know, it's tedious, you know, but at the same time, when you have such an amazing group of friends that care for you and love you and, you know, just want to be there for you, it's just like, you know, they're going to be there. And there are people out there who want to help you, and there are people who want to talk to you. A great example, I would say, is I was watching the Sidemen documentary. Yes, I used my VPN for that because it's only available in the UK. The Sidemen documentary, you know, Ethan was going through a tough time, you know, dealing with his weight and also dealing with things that are going around with, you know, comments of, you know, you look fat, you know, lose some weight, do you know how to exercise, things like that. You know, he was going through that, and it was hard, and it almost, he was drinking a lot, and it almost tempted him to commit suicide, to just drive off a bridge. And his, you know, his friends and the Sidemen were like, you know, I wish there was a point in time to where he would ask us for help, or ask, you know, or I was there to talk to him. The same goes out for everyone. You know, we want to love on each other. We want to talk to each other, you know, we want to be there for each other. So be there for one another, love each other, be kind. That's why I always stay safe, stay happy, stay healthy, because I want you to be safe, be happy, and be healthy. So yeah, mental health is a crazy little topic for today, and our own experiences and what we've gone through in general. If you guys have any topics you guys want to talk about for future podcast episodes, please let us know. You guys can listen to us on Spotify Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you can find podcasts. Sorry to bring the atmosphere or the tone down a little bit, but mental health is something serious, and it's something we all talk about. So we appreciate you guys hanging out, stopping by in VC today. Thank you for chilling and listening. You guys stay safe, stay happy, stay healthy. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.